from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid-team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning.
Stop this madness.
This is The Morning Shift, and I am Bo Squid Billy Morgan, joined alongside...
Who let you
the
off the
all leash? American.
Who let you off the leash?
The national champion.
Who let you
the
off the leash?
The future College Football Hall of Famer.
Oh, dude. I want to come across
please
the table.
And former Atlanta
please.
Falcon,
please
Mike
stop.
Johnson. And there is the sultry tones of the jazz singer herself, big time Tiffany Blackman.
Good please morning, stop. Tiff.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah, happy to be back in the seat, man. Happy to see you guys. It was a well needed. Well-deserved vacation, hopefully, like Dylan said, but I'm happy to be back in the saddle, man. So, good to see you guys.
Congratulations. Hopefully, you're well-rested.
Yeah, well, well-rested is relative, seeing as how I got about 2 hours of sleep last night. But, it was a little bit of a timeout. Man, 7 days, 7 days at the beach.
You got tan.
I'll be honest.
You look like a different person.
Do I?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
My skin just showing up as a...
No, you're really tan.
Good, I worked on it. I tried not to use the SPF 50. I tried to stay in the 30 range, you know what I mean? Well, you know, you got the baby sunscreen. But 7 days, man, 7 days is a little too much, I'll be honest. It's a little too much. I'll take five. By the end of day five.
It was a family reunion, or was it just
my
kids?
My wife's side of the family takes a vacation all together every year.
That's a lot.
Right. It was a huge duplex beach house where we all had plenty of space and got to hang out and plenty of kids and everything else. So great time. But I think everybody kind of got to day five and it was like, all right.
Tired of each other.
All right.
See,
everyone stays in the same house. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's a duplex. So
I know, but still.
Like, each side of the duplex of this house was 9 bedrooms. So it's a massive complex of like basically our own hotel.
Shared kitchen?
No, 2 kitchens.
Okay.
Duplex, yeah. But we had doors between.
I think I think you're onto something, though, with the days. I don't know what the perfect day for days on actual vacation are, because we had 7 this year. I felt like it was actually too many because it actually took a toll.
Sure.
And then, but if you only go for like 4, you're like, oh, that was too short. I don't know where the perfect, I'm trying to figure that out. Is it 5? Is it 6?
Well, you were in Mexico for how long?
7 days.
Yeah. 7 days. Yeah, dude, I don't know, man. That's just, it's just a little bit too much. And it's like, I, you know, 3 and 4 days is not enough. It never is. You get to 3 and 4 days and it's like, dude, I wish I could just move down here. And then at the end of day 5, you're like, ah, I don't know. I don't know if I could pull that off, man.
You kind of run out of stuff to do.
You really do, especially at the beach.
Yeah, there's only really at the beach when you're in a house, because there's only so many times you want to drag a freaking wagon full of crap down to the beach if you have one. If not, you're carrying it.
I will say that's the beauty of the house and not the condo. You just, you know, leave it down by the end of the pier. Just leave it down there. Leave it down by the end of the walkway, and you're good to go. But, man, yeah, I was out in the sun a lot. Let me ask you guys this. Do you have a favorite beach game?
Beach game?
Yeah, like a cornhole. Yeah, frisbee.
The one where I dig in the cooler for the coldest beer, and then I pull it out and I continue to sit there.
You're not like an active beach person?
I mean, I will some, but
you don't play like pool basketball or like any kind of anything.
I would play beach volleyball if
beach volleyball is a good one.
Or just sit in a reclining chair and.
Well, that's what I'm saying though. Like after 7 days, that's what you did.
Yeah, but I love being by the water.
All right.
So sitting by the water, like when I guess the last beach-ish trip I made was probably in Miami.
Yeah.
And so just sitting by the ocean was enough for me.
Have any of you all ever played or heard of spike ball? Because that's a fun beach game too.
We had some people in our group playing spike ball.
Spike ball is so
fun. Didn't that try to take off a few? It was years ago.
It came out when I was in college.
Listen, the high school kids play it a lot. I'll just say that. And so I was also, we were playing. Y'all ever play the game where you put a bottle on top of a pole? I'm curious what y'all call this, because we had this discussion.
I can go ahead and say no.
You can the bottle on top of a pole. You ever played this? I call it bottle breaker. Some other people call it Beersby.
I know what you're talking about.
Trying to hit the bowl with the pole with the frisbee. We like every time somebody would ask if we wanted to play it, everybody had a different name for it.
We actually play a game that has a frisbee called Can Jam.
Yeah. That's another great beach game.
It's almost kind of like a trash can fill, but it's got a slot opening for, you know, frisbee, and it's a decent opening. But that's the we play that
great beach game.
We play that my neighbors got, so we'll take it up to the park in the neighborhood and we'll play that when they have events up there. Okay. Like if we're going to the pool.
Maybe I'm just talking about outdoor games and cornhole, because Dylan said he was the MVP of the cornhole thing last week.
And they played the cornhole in your island on the beach, and I have never played cornhole on the beach.
What?
Same. Not on the beach.
What?
It's a yard. It's a backyard activity. Or tailgate game.
Maybe it's because I grew up in Florida. I don't know. That was cornhole was like. It just
sounds like a Florida thing.
Cornhole got pushed got pushed to the tailgaters.
Can I tell you just real quick? Cornhole on the beach is harder than cornhole on like a yard or.
Why?
If you're good, because it's you all have the same.
Because one, you're on a flatter. I mean, you're not on a flat surface, and you have to kind of. You have to kind of get that down, and the board is not necessarily sitting flat either. And then two, it's usually more windy on the beach, and that wind, it plays a big factor.
Okay, if you're going with the wind factor, I could see that.
Well, I'll give you a little bit on the wind, but the flatness of the board doesn't matter if you know how to toss if you have a proper form with the bag, because if you can elevate that bag, it's going to plop. Now, that one that slides a little bit.
Left to right, though. He's not talking about front to back. Left to right. You can't plop it left to right. What if it's on a slope?
What do you mean left?
Like if you're looking at it's
leaning a little bit.
Right. Well, that's on the board setup. Whoever set up the board, flatten out that area.
No, we got under control. Look, we still won. It wasn't a big deal, but I was just saying there are some external factors.
Dylan, you're just making excuses you do with your like rec basketball league.
Tiffany, I won. There are no excuses.
You're making excuses like you do at rec basketball.
I closed out the game, Tiff.
You just got burned. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. You may want to give them a call, Dylan. Didn't mean to come for your rec game.
Sorry, we're a
victim. You said what?
I said it's all right. You got it.
I got it? All right. Travis d'Arnaud had 2 home runs and 4 RBI, and Chris Sale pitched 5 solid innings for his major league leading 13th win. Atlanta beats the Padres 6-3 on Sunday. That's the final game before the All-Star break.
But you
will be in Arlington.
You left out the biggest accomplishment that Travis d'Arnaud had yesterday.
Why would you say it then?
Which was the stolen base that he had, which was the third of his career and only the first one since 2020. The best part was is after the game, he was interviewed with by Bally. He goes, yeah. He goes, I couldn't believe it. Vasquez went into a full windup, so I just took off. And they didn't even throw down. He stole it so easily. Little D had a big day. Chris Sale, you mentioned, Tiff, that he only went five innings, only threw 79 pitches. That had nothing to do with his performance. I have a feeling, I felt like that was Snicker saying, give five innings, we get the lead, and I want to see my bullpen get some work before we're off till Friday. Now, A.J. Minter looked like he needs some work during the break because he did not have a good outing. Even Joe Jimenez gave up some deep shots that were, it was a Will, as Grant McCauley called it, a Will Smith outing.
It was, well, let's go back to Chris Sale for a minute. I'm pretty sure it was confirmed more or less that they pushed him to Sunday so he would be ineligible to pitch for the All-Star team, and they capped him at five innings because they want him to rest that shoulder. So it's willing to me. I have no problem with them pushing him to Sunday to make him ineligible to play in the All-Star game. I know a lot of people would be up in arms about that. You know, it's kind of rigging the system. I'm fine with it. The guy's been dominant.
Chris Sale has no problem with it. That's the bigger thing for me.
Sure. Chris Sale's been in an All-Star game before. He doesn't, you know, it's not like Paul Skeens, who is, you know, starting for the National League team. That's as a rookie, that's a different deal. Chris Sale, he'll live.
And it helped Max Fried get there as well. Not the only factor. There was other the contributing factors, but Max Fried, get this. Of the Braves All-Stars, the four of them, none of them were there last year. And they have three starting pitchers in that. They had two last year. And they're all different from last year.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Yeah, the rotation, yeah, maybe not an issue.
Pretty good.
Well, Atlanta's won six of its last nine games. So they took two out of three from the Padres. But that's good news, given the way the season has gone. Six of the last nine. It's not a bad way to go into the All-Star break.
I can't remember. I looked up when I was on vacation a week ago, and I saw that the opposing team had scored four runs, and the Braves won. Because we made that such a big deal, you know, going about that, how it had been 27 straight where the opposing team had scored four and the Braves lost. And I was like, I go on vacation for 2 days, and they pull it off.
But it got to 28, too, because that Friday night, your last day at Friday night,
which
the
was
Phillies.
Philly, yep.
Yep. They scored, I think, six that night.
And it's back on track since that day, since the last week. So, anyways.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you lose a couple of games with no runs.
College football just around the corner, and you know what signals that? The kickoff of SEC Media Days, which is today, Monday morning. We'll see what the commissioner, Greg Sankey, has to say. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are getting closer to the college football season, and SEC Media Days kicks off today. So SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey will kick off things this morning with his annual press conference, and that is before LSU opens the proceedings for the team. So the two-time national champion, Coach Kirby Smart, also headlines a stacked day two on Tuesday, and Kalen DeBoer makes his debut opposite Texas coach and ex-Alabama assistant Steve Sarkisian on Wednesday. So this goes on for about 4 days with teams going through what we like to call media car wash.
It's going to be interesting. Well, Mike is very he's very knowledgeable about these situations since he's been to one of these as the player, as a player,
as getting the person in the car wash.
Yeah. It's a great honor.
And
media
I've
wash. Miserable day.
Been on the other side of the car wash, and so I think Tiffany, I imagine you might have as well. It is kind of the premier one of these in college football, though. This is the big boy. It's not in Hoover this year. It hasn't been in Hoover in a couple of years. In fact, I think it's been like three, at least this is the third year in a row it won't be in Hoover, because it was in Atlanta, then Nashville, and then I believe now in Dallas, in Arlington. But look, the interesting days is Tuesday for sure. You got UGA, you got what'll be the preseason favorite in the country, not just the SEC, and then Oklahoma's debut.
Yeah, we're going to talk more in depth about this coming up at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. I'm curious to see a couple of things. First of all, Kirby Smart always uses this as kind of a jumping off point, kind of a platform to extend his, his rallying cry for his team. And I know he'll obviously be facing a number of questions about things that he had to address last year in terms of off the field events. But I want to see what Kirby Smart's kind of battle cry will be for this team this year. And also, look, I want to see some of the other things going on. I want to see the Lane Kiffins of the world coming off an 11-2 year. I want to see what Kalen DeBoer sounds like as, Nick Saban's replacement at Alabama. And I want to see what Texas and Oklahoma kind of bring to the table, especially with it being out in Dallas, which I don't like, man. I'm going to be honest with you. Don't like it in Dallas. No thanks. Move on.
It's a good setup, but I can understand a lot of SEC people expecting it to be where it always is in Hoover or, even here in Atlanta.
It's a little too westward for me.
It's also weird because the Big 12 is normally in Arlington.
That's now I've done a Big 12 media day or two in my past. Yes.
You also have what else in Arlington today? The home run derby.
But the big weird thing is the Big 12 was in Vegas last week, and the SEC is in Arlington. I'm a little I don't understand why the schedule exactly the way they did it, because if I'm covering it. If I was covering it out there, I'd probably be like, "Yeah, let's leave Wednesday night around 8 o'clock, because Thursday's Arkansas, Texas A&M, Auburn, and Kentucky." I would have thought that they would have I don't need Georgia and Oklahoma on the same day along with Tennessee, and I also don't need Alabama, Florida.
Are you trying
Texas.
To say to keep the
yes.
interest?
Yeah,
should have spread
sure.
out
because
the Texas A&M beat writers are going to be out on a limb by themselves on Wednesday night. They're like,
I mean, especially like poor Mark Stoops. Is anybody going to be there when he speaks at 3:30 on
Don't
Thursday?
Be disrespectful.
I'm being realistic.
I think he's being respectful to Mark Stoops.
I'm just.
I don't
kidding.
Think it's a disrespect
I'm
thing at all.
Kidding.
I think
it's kidding.
I think you're being realistic, man.
Sarcasm.
It's unfortunate that was scheduled the way it is.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But whatever. What do I know? I mean, and honestly, today is basically Brian Kelly, Shane Beamer. Who now Lane Kiffin. Today's star-studded, really, as well, because
it
all
is.
Three of those coaches, along with the commissioner, now poor Clark Lee, he's a throw-in on today, but they couldn't put him on Thursday. It would really be a crappy day, but he's always good for a soundbite, but I don't know. I just figured they would have spread out some of the big voices, because Shane Beamer's not necessarily a South Carolina big voice, Steph, but he's a charismatic voice.
Yes, and they always do something fun with their social media team, and of course Lane Kiffin always has something to say. So today should be interesting. I wonder if he tries to stir the pot with Alabama and new coach Kalen DeBoer. If he, I don't know.
That's a good question. How Lane Kiffin will he be a week after the passing of his father? That's the one thing that I wonder if he'll be a little bit toned down today.
That's a possibility. You kind of never know with Lane. Moving along here, UGA star slugger Charlie Condon is drafted number 3 overall in the MLB draft. So he made UGA history this season, becoming the first player to win a college baseball's prestigious Golden Spikes Award. He finished the 2024 season with a .433 batting average, 37 home runs, and 78 runs batted in. So
he was so much fun to watch, along with a number of these other players that were taken in this top 8. Historically bad night, I guess, for high school players last night. The first 8 guys to go are all college baseball players. Then I think you had a positional high school player at 9. I can't remember who that was. And then you had actually the Braves all the way back at, I guess, 24 with Cam Caminiti taking the first high school pitcher. According to Baseball America, probably the worst high school class in history coming out in this Major League Baseball draft, which is unfortunate. But you see the Charlie Condons in the world finding homes yesterday.
Yeah, the Cam Caminiti, yeah, he is related to Ken Caminiti. It's his cousin, and he was throwing 98. I think he was on like 95 at 15, and he was he maxed out at 98.
That'll work.
Before his high school career was over. I don't know if you guys get to see this, but the number one player overall was and a lot of people thought Condon would be, was Travis Bezzana, and MLB Network tried to interview him at his party. ESPN tried to interview him at his little party, and they were both debacles, just because I don't know what was going on with the sound, but it was not the product we're used to when we're watching a draft, like, you know, the NBA and the NFL. And the MLB one is a little bit different. But yeah, congrats to Charlie Condon. What an amazing last year at Georgia he had. So
that number one pick you're talking about, first Australian born number one player overall. And so that's kind of a cool little side note to that. And also your boy at Florida, Jack Caglione, going, I think, 6 overall. I thought he would go 2 or 3, but everything at the top kind of got mixed up. He'll be the two-way star possibly of the future, very a la Shohei Ohtani. So we'll see.
On to tennis now, and Carlos Alcaraz sweeps Novak Djokovic, winning his second Wimbledon title. I know you were excited about the Joker last week and how he was coming back at the fans that were possibly
was he trash
booing
talking?
Him.
Is that what has happened?
And now, you know.
Yeah, he then.
I don't know if he has much to say. I didn't.
I got to watch it. It was domination. Alcaraz was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
I thought what he did the best of was made Joker move. And that Joker literally was a month removed from meniscus surgery on his knee, which is an incredible feat to make it there. He did decide to play the violin Friday after winning his semifinal match for the crowd, which was hilarious.
Awesome.
But he's just not, I don't know if he's 100%, but take nothing away from Alcaraz. He is the next star in tennis. And yesterday, he beat the GOAT for the second time at Wimbledon, because Joker is the GOAT of tennis. 24 Grand Slam titles, 37 finals, Grand Slam final appearances.
I don't know. Did you see Alcaraz's interview after his semi, where he was talking about how it was going to be a good day for Spain, because obviously the Euros and everything else going on, the crowd starts kind of booing him because it was England was going to be playing Spain.
They're,
boo!
And by the way,
I love it, dude. He was like, yeah, my bad.
He was right, too.
He was right. I love it.
And a tough day for Atlanta United up in Montreal. They lose 1-0. That game was on Saturday. They had 0 shots on goal in the match.
Speaking of being booed, it was ugly.
Them?
It was a gritty. They tried everything they could to get the red card, playing a man down. I get in from the beach, and I'm like, oh, let me flip this on real quick, check the end of this, and my eyes were about to bleed before I was able to get the TV off. So rough night for Atlanta United Saturday.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. And I guess Hard Rock Stadium might want to give them a call, because it took a beating in the Copa America. That's where the final went down. We'll get you the details, and we'll hit a Hawks edition of TB's Timeout, get you an update on Trae Young and that surgically repaired finger. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are rolling along here, and it was quite the string of events at Copa America. The final was yesterday, and it was delayed after fans rushed the gates. And I don't know if you got to see some of these images on social media. I mean, I don't understand how an escalator crumbles, but some of the images were just astonishing. But apparently, I guess it seemed to be understaffed, I guess you could probably say the words, and people were rushing in through the gates. Some people didn't even have tickets, were pushing their way past people that were supposed to be checking tickets. So it was pretty crazy. It was all for the final between Argentina and Colombia.
Well, they probably need to do an extensive search of the air ducts and Hard Rock Stadium as well, because as cold as they keep it in certain areas of that stadium, and when people, they went in, they had pictures and video of people jumping up and going into the air ducts yesterday to get in the stadium. That is ridiculous. But I will say that there's been a lot of conversation based on what happened yesterday afternoon down there about, oh, well, that's a host city. That's a host site for the World Cup in 2026, and people are worried about it. Just remember one thing. FIFA didn't run the Copa. It was it CONMEBOL or how you pronounce it? Who runs it, and they clearly have no idea what the hell they're doing. And that was a debacle. So I think that don't look at those images and say there's no way that the World Cup would be a failure. It's not like we didn't hold a World Cup in 94. We know how to hold big events in this country. So I don't expect that to repeat itself when the World Cup is here.
It's also North America hosting the World Cup. I will say, though, that was not the only incident. There was numerous comments, and you go back to Charlotte the other day in the semis where players are getting into the stands. Mm-hmm. You go back to the comments about our own Mercedes-Benz Stadium and the field turf. There were a number of comments about training grounds and everything else. But I'm with you. I think it's a completely different event, and you didn't expect this to happen. I love the mayor of Miami comes out and makes a statement. You could tell she's like, didn't know I had to talk about this. Looks like I'm going to have to ask a lot of questions. It's like, I thought they would have enough security on hand for an event that's a sellout. Turns out they did.
Well,
so that's where we're at.
Hopefully Hard Rock can't use it for the preseason game when we play the Dolphins, and we can just maybe move that game to Orlando or something, because I absolutely hate Hard Rock Stadium with a passion. It's a dump.
That's one of the biggest things that I was like, man, air ducts. I'm like, why is there air ducts in Hard Rock Stadium? I was like, that stadium is how old? 40
well,
years?
It's
so old.
Pretty old.
They remodeled it recently,
yeah.
And when they did, they made it worse. It's probably for the club that they have in there, which is located conveniently in between the broadcast booths.
Wait, you don't mean like suite club. You mean like club.
Yeah, they have a club. They have a club. Yes.
It's Hard Rock for a reason.
And it's in between the press box where the regular media sit and then in the broadcast booths. And they've decided also that those broadcast booths, which are now in the corner, are the windows are screwed shut. And it's like an icebox in those things.
So
it's
been
a disaster.
Yeah, I've done a game. I've done a couple games
to
the stadium. Not my words. But yes, I've done a couple games. The cat game, the infamous cat game.
Oh, that's right.
Forgot who's App State and Miami.
Yeah.
I think that was the game.
Yeah, it was definitely so, Miami.
But this game was delayed by 75 minutes, and Argentina pulled out the win in extra time, 1-0. And the big news coming out of it was Messi leaving with a really bad, nasty ankle injury and just in tears as he was pulled off. So tough break there, and you obviously hope that he will make a swift recovery from that.
Looked like he had a donut around his ankle when they zoomed in on the sideline. And obviously he was in a heap of pain. I actually give him credit for re-entering the game after he initially hurt it on a play down by the goal. And then he comes back, and then there's like kind of a non-contact moment where he falls to the ground. It's like, dude, I hope he's okay. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of emotion, and more emotion than I can remember seeing in Copa and watching these teams come to this final, because it was like Argentina had won the World Cup all over again almost.
Let's hit a TB's timeout.
Now listen up.
Now let's take a look at what's going on in Tiffany's world.
This ain't funny.
With TB's timeout on the morning shift.
Brought to you by MaximumCashHomeBuyers.com. Fair cash offers for as-is homes. Don't waste your time with repairs. Call 678-902-2000.
NBA Summer League is going on, so you know your Hawks are represented out there in Vegas. And Trae Young was on hand out there. You guys remember the pinky injury that took him out the rest of the way last season? He did have that surgically repaired, and he caught up with ESPN's Cassidy Hubbard to talk about the progress he's been making.
Yeah, I'm getting there. It's almost back 100%, but now I'm able to really stretch my hands out, and it feels a lot better. I've been having my rehab this summer, and it's been a lot better for sure.
So that's good news.
Yeah, that's solid. Sounds good. Sounds upbeat.
Sounds in good spirits.
That's the guy.
Yeah, he's definitely the guy now. I mean, that's the guy shipped out.
Good news.
Well, since you brought that up, then he did talk with Cassidy about the DeJounte Murray trade.
Me and him, we both understand this league and this business, and we know it's a win now league, and especially, the position we're in, we're trying to win, and both of us as competitors, we want to win. So we both got love for each other, and this, obviously sad losing him, but he's in a great spot.
I think he sounds like he's telling the truth. I think he sounds like he's got love for DeJounte and he's excited for him.
DeJounte didn't sound like he had love for this organization when he left.
That's kind of my point.
But that's okay, cool. You know, I think Trae knows how to say the right things, and those are the right things. And whether that's true or not, I don't really care. Doesn't matter anymore to me, because DeJounte's not here. They're never playing together again in this city. So you
never
know,
say never. You never know.
They're never
NBA
playing
is a weird
together
place
in this city.
Anyhow.
Stars call the shots. They go where they want to go.
Well, yeah, but they ain't playing here together.
Oh, yes, I know. But you're saying never again.
Just only here, because I don't really care if they play together somewhere else. And they can go fail again somewhere else for all I care. But if it didn't work here, they're not going to play together here. I did watch Risha Shea's it was cool.
There are a couple of injuries, but yes, go ahead first.
His debut, so him and obviously it was at SARS as well, and they went against each other. But I've got down the setup, drinking late, because it was perfect. Two West Coast games for Atlanta. You got the Summer League game and the Braves game. Poured the vodka out.
I watched that game too, and I thought to myself at the time, there's probably nobody else watching this right now. It's late. I didn't have anything else to do at the beach. Put the kids to bed. A little craziness going on around the beach house, and I was like, I'm going to watch this game and watch both Sarr and Reese. But I thought to myself, man, if you're the team broadcasting this out in Vegas on a Friday night, like, it's an interesting draw as far as having to work that game.
Well, first off, when you get assigned to Summer League, no one's watching to begin with.
Jeez.
But then, you got that one, and you go, this might be our most watched game, the two top picks. But it was great because Risha Shea, I thought, played pretty well. He's obviously got some, his summer league, so take it with a grain of salt. But for he looked comfortable out there doing some of those things. Obviously, he likes to play defense. And I got that on one screen. I got Mark Swole going yickety twice in the same game on the other.
Yeah.
While my boy Schwellenbach did his thing again.
Schwellenbach.
Well, I was close to the All-Star. I was in Arlington, actually, this past weekend. So I had a WNBA game. Which I did not get to see any of that action. And, I didn't get to see any of this action because we had our meeting for our game. But I can tell you our Caleb Johnson is out there. And so I was looking at his tweets and following along. He did mention a couple of the injuries for the Young Hawks players with Zachary Richesche. He did hit his head onto the court, but kind of holding it back on the bench. So obviously I think it appears to be he's fine. And then Caleb also had a picture that he had tweeted out of Nikola Jurišić wearing a boot sitting on the Hawks bench next to Jalen Johnson. So that was after he injured his foot in the first half. So, but Caleb all over it out there. So
I thought the same thing you said kind of about Risha Shea, that I thought he looked like he belonged and he looked comfortable. I kept watching, kind of waiting on that like immediate impact thing. Oh, I can't wait till he does this. And at one point, I don't know if it was an air ball, but it was close that he shot from deep. And I was like, That's not what you want to see for a guy that's 3-D and space the floor and all these other things for a wing. Yeah, not exactly what you have in mind. But
well,
nonetheless, I thought he looked like he belonged. He looked confident, and it's the first game. So.
He looked like he belonged. He did more than other players that were taken in this draft that have gotten much more notoriety in their summer league performances, Ronnie.
Oh, you're all
still
right.
On that train.
No, I can't. I mean, can't get off of it.
Well, no, you're right. It's everywhere.
You can't get off something that's shoved down your throat in your face constantly. I mean, if I had to hear one more J.J. Redick quote about how great the development's going to be of Bronny, and I mean, I've already thrown up in my mouth every time I read it. So it's disgusting. I just don't understand it. Like, why you got to force feed stuff? But that's ESPN. They don't have anything else to talk about in July, I guess.
All right, well, surely SEC Media Days will be easier for you to swallow and keep down. It does start today. We'll lay out the lay of the land and how it's all going to shake out here next on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are rolling along here, and it was quite the string of events at Copa America. The final was yesterday, and it was delayed after fans rushed the gates. And I don't know if you got to see some of these images on social media. I mean, I don't understand how an escalator crumbles, but some of the images were just astonishing. But apparently, I guess it seemed to be understaffed. I guess you could probably say the words, and people were rushing in through the gates. Some people didn't even have tickets, were pushing their way past people that were supposed to be checking tickets. So it was pretty crazy. It was all for the final between Argentina and Colombia.
Well, they probably need to do an extensive search of the air ducts and Hard Rock Stadium as well, because as cold as they keep it in certain areas of that stadium, and when people, they went in, they had pictures and video of people jumping up and going into the air ducts yesterday to get in the stadium. That is ridiculous. But I will say that there's been a lot of conversation based on what happened yesterday afternoon down there about, oh, well, that's a host city. That's a host site for the World Cup in 2026, and people are worried about it. Just remember one thing. FIFA didn't run the Copa. It was it CONMEBOL or how you pronounce it? Who runs it, and they clearly have no idea what the hell they're doing. And that was a debacle. So I think that don't look at those images and say there's no way that the World Cup will be a failure. It's not like we didn't hold a World Cup in 94. We know how to hold big events in this country. So I don't expect that to repeat itself when the World Cup is here.
It's also North America hosting the World Cup. I will say, though, that was not the only incident. There was numerous comments, and you go back to Charlotte the other day in the semis where players are getting into the stands. Mm-hmm. You go back to the comments about our own Mercedes-Benz Stadium and the field turf. There were a number of comments about training grounds and everything else. But I'm with you. I think it's a completely different event, and you didn't expect this to happen. I love the mayor of Miami comes out and makes a statement. You could tell she's like, didn't know I had to talk about this. Looks like I'm going to have to ask a lot of questions. It's like, I thought they would have enough security on hand for an event that's a sellout. Turns out they did.
Well,
that's where we're at.
Hopefully Hard Rock can't use it for the preseason game when we play the Dolphins, and we can just maybe move that game to Orlando or something, because I absolutely hate Hard Rock Stadium with a passion. It's a dump.
That's one of the biggest things that I was like, man, air ducts. I'm like, why is there air ducts in Hard Rock Stadium? I was like, that stadium is how old? 40 years?
It's
so old.
Pretty old.
And they remodeled it recently, and when they did, they made it worse. It's probably for the club that they have in there, which is located conveniently in between the broadcast booths.
Wait, you don't mean like suite club? You mean like club?
Yeah, they have a club. They have a club. Yes.
It's Hard Rock for a reason.
And it's in between the press box where the regular media sit and then in the broadcast booths. And they've decided also that those broadcast booths, which are now in the corner, are the windows are screwed shut. And it's like an icebox in those things. It's a disaster.
Yeah, I've done a game. I've done a couple games in that stadium. So not my words. But yes, I've done a couple games. The cat game, the infamous cat game.
Oh, that's right.
Forgot who's App State and Miami.
Yeah.
I think that was the game.
Yeah, definitely so, Miami.
But yeah, but this game was delayed by 75 minutes, and Argentina pulled out the win in extra time, 1-0. And the big news coming out of it was Messi leaving with a really bad, nasty ankle injury and just in tears as he was pulled off. So tough break there, and you obviously hope that he will make a swift recovery from that.
Looked like he had a donut around his ankle when they zoomed in on the sideline. And obviously he was in a heap of pain. I actually give him credit for re-entering the game after he initially hurt it on a play down by the goal, and then he comes back, and then there's like kind of a non-contact moment where he falls to the ground. It's like, dude, I hope he's okay. But yeah, you're right. I mean, a lot of emotion, and more emotion than I can remember seeing in Copa and watching these teams come to this final, because it was like Argentina had won the World Cup all over again almost.
Let's hit a TB's timeout.
Now listen up. Now let's take a look at what's going on in Tiffany's world.
This ain't funny.
With TB's timeout on the morning shift.
Brought to you by MaximumCashHomeBuyers.com. Fair cash offers for as-is homes. Don't waste your time with repairs. Call 678-902-2000.
NBA Summer League is going on, so you know your Hawks are represented out there in Vegas. And Trae Young was on hand out there. You guys remember the pinky injury that took him out the rest of the way last season? He did have that surgically repaired, and he caught up with ESPN's Cassidy Hubbard to talk about the progress he's been making.
Yeah, I'm getting there. It's almost back 100%, but now I'm able to really stretch my hands out, and it feels a lot better. I've been having my rehab this summer, and it's getting a lot better for sure.
So that's good news.
Yeah, that's solid. Sounds good. Sounds upbeat.
Sounds in good spirits.
That's the guy.
Yeah, he's definitely the guy now. I mean, that's the guy shipped out.
Good news.
Well, since you brought that up then, he did talk with Cassidy about the DeJounte Murray trade.
Me and him, we both understand this league and this business, and we know it's a win-now league, and especially, I mean, the position we're in, we're trying to win, and both of us as competitors, we want to win, so... We both got love for each other, and this, I mean, obviously sad losing him, but, I mean, he's in a great spot.
I think he sounds like he's telling the truth. I think he sounds like he's got love for DeJounte, and he's excited for him.
DeJounte didn't sound like he had love for this organization when he left.
That's kind of my point.
But that's, okay, cool. You know, I think Trae knows how to say the right things, and those are the right things, and whether it's true or not, I don't really care. Doesn't matter anymore to me. Because DeJounte's not here, they're never playing together again in this city. So, you
never
know,
say never. You never know.
They're never
NBA
playing
is a weird
together
place
in
it is
this
weird
city.
Place. Anyhow, stars call the shots. They go where they want to go.
Well, yeah, but they ain't playing here together.
Oh yes, I know. But you're saying never again.
Just only here, because I don't really care if they play together somewhere else. And they can go fail again somewhere else for all I care. But if it didn't work here, they're not going to play together here. I did watch Risha Shea's, it was cool.
There are a couple of injuries, but yes, go ahead first.
His debut, so him and obviously it was at SARS as well, and they went against each other. But I've got down the setup, drinking late, because it was perfect. Two West Coast games for Atlanta. You got the Summer League game and the Braves game. The vodka.
I watched that game too, and I thought to myself at the time, there's probably nobody else watching this right now. It's late. I didn't have anything else to do at the beach. Put the kids to bed. A little craziness going on around the beach house, and I was like, I'm going to watch this game and watch both Sarr and Reese. But I thought to myself, man, if you're the team broadcasting this out in Vegas on a Friday night, like, it's an interesting draw as far as having to work that game.
Well, you knew, first off, when you get assigned to Summer League, you know, no one's watching to begin with.
Jeez.
But then, you know, you got that one, and you go, this might be our most watched game, the two top picks. But it was great because Risha Shea, I thought, played pretty well. He's obviously got some, you know, his Summer League, so take it with a grain of salt. But for, you know, he looked comfortable out there doing some of those things. Obviously, he likes to play defense. And I got that on one screen. I got Mark Swole going yickety twice in the Mark same Swole game on the other,
yeah,
while my boy Schwellenbach did his thing again.
Schwellenbach,
well, I was close to the All-Star. I was in Arlington, actually, this past weekend. So I had a WNBA game, which I did not get to see any of that action. And, I didn't get to see any of this action because we had our meeting for our game. But I can tell you our Caleb Johnson is out there. And so I was looking at his tweets and following along. He did mentioned a couple of the injuries for the Young Hawks players with Zachary Richechet. He did hit his head onto the court, but, you know, kind of holding it back on the bench. So, obviously, I think it appears to be he's fine. And then Caleb also had a picture that he had tweeted out of Nikola Jurišić wearing a Jurišić, let me get it right, wearing a boot sitting on the Hawks bench next to Jalen Johnson. So, that was after he injured his foot in the first half. So, but Caleb all over it out there. So
I thought the same thing you said kind of about Richechet, that I thought he looked like he belonged and he looked comfortable. I kept watching, kind of waiting on that like immediate impact thing. Oh, I can't wait till he does this. And at one point, I don't know if it was an air ball, but it was close that he shot from deep. And I was like, ah, that's not what you want to see for a guy that's 3-and-D and space the floor and all these other things for a wing. Yeah, not exactly what you have in mind, but
well,
nonetheless, I thought he looked like he belonged. He looked confident, and it's the first game. So.
He looked like he belonged. He did more than other players that were taken in this draft that have gotten much more notoriety in their summer league performances, Ronnie.
Oh, you're all
still
right
on that train.
No, I can't. I mean, can't get off of it.
Well, no, you're right. It's everywhere.
You can't get off something that's shoved down your throat in your face constantly. I mean, if I had to hear one more J.J. Redick quote about how great the development's going to be of Bronny, and I've already thrown up in my mouth every time I read it, so it's disgusting. I just don't understand it. Like, why you got to force feed stuff? But that's ESPN. They don't have anything else to talk about in July, I guess.
All right, well, surely SEC media days will be easier for you to swallow and keep down. It does start today. We'll lay out the lay of the land. And how it's all going to shake out here next on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.